Okay. So, yeah, I'll start off, I don't have a good joke, so I have to get, well, I'll start off with a story. I just saw this two stories. I think that's very relevant to what we're doing here. There was a chassid, he wanted to move from a small little shtetl where he lived. He wanted to move to the big city. So he asks, says, Rebbe, what should I do? So he says, no problem, you could go to the big city, but I want you to write to me every so often. So, so each time he wrote a letter, he was always complaining, the ruchnius is very bad here. It's so hard for me to be able to do my avodas Hashem. And so the Rebbe didn't say anything. He was saying, okay, you can still say. 1 week he gets a letter. He says, you know, Rebbe, it's not so bad anymore. It's okay. I'm getting used to it over here. So right away the Rebbe says to him, it's time to come back to the shtetl. You got to come back. So obviously, as long as the chassid realized that, you know, he was in danger of losing his ruchnias, and he kept saying that to the Rebbe. He said, listen, you know, it's crazy over here. So the Rebbe was okay with the fact is that he was in this big city and a different environment from where he was used to. And so he wasn't so concerned. He felt he's going to be careful and it's not going to be dangerous. But as soon as this chassid tells him, I'm getting used to it, it's okay. Then already, he wasn't sensing that there was a problem. He wasn't sensing that there might be danger lurking, spiritual danger anyway, lurking at any particular time. And so he told him he's got to come back. That's the first story. We got a second story. Somebody showed me this story. It happened to Dr. Abraham Twersky wrote this up, and somebody showed it to me. I never heard it before. It's about Ulysses, a Greek hero. Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody? Ulysses, a Greek hero. Anyway, I thought it was a great story, and has a great marshal to it. Anyway, and it's a good schuss. He was just nifter, Rabbi Twersky. He did a good things for Klal Yisrael. Anyway, the story is it's the music of the sirens. The story was that there was a harbor that this music of these sirens was so attracted and so was irresistible that anybody went near that harbor, if they were listening to this music, then they would be drawn. They would have no choice. They would be drawn to the harbor. The problem was that there were these sharp reefs right up alongside the harbor. And the boats that would be driving into the harbor to listen to this music would crash on the reefs, and it would be disastrous for them. Now, each boat that would see this, they would see the broken shards, and they would see the ruins of all these ships, but they kept going anyway. This fellow, this Ulysses, a shtickel chacham he was, he said, you know what? I want to know what this music is, but I don't want to get killed. So this is what he did. He gave the sailors, he gave them wax to put in their ears so they can't hear the music. He tied himself to the mast. He got somebody to tie himself really tight against the mast of the ship. And he told his men, listen, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, you just keep rowing straight. He figures they'll row past the harbor. They won't hear the music. They won't be drawn into it. They won't be drawn into it. And he'll get to hear the music. Kacha, but that's what he does. So he starts to row. And as soon as he hears the music, he starts to scream, row towards shore, row towards shore. And of course, they don't hear anything. Their ears are stuffed with the wax. I don't know if they would have been my students. I don't know if they would hear it any without the max, but okay. But present company accepted. But anyway, so he's screaming. He's trying to get out of his ropes. He can't get out of it. And he's screaming, Ro, I'm your captain. You got to go. And they don't hear a thing. And they keep going. Finally, he's away from the harbor. He's away from the danger. He realizes tremendous. He saved himself. So it's pretty. So Rav Tversky mentioned something about the. He talks about how, okay, so obviously the mashal is we should have to tie ourselves where there's so much going on in the world today. He quotes Rav Yerucham. I don't know where it comes from. But he talks about that. Yerucham says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the world to the Satan, so to speak. Now, that's always like that. You know, the word Olam means world, yet Olam also means hidden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world Bedavka, that he's hidden. You can't see him. That's the whole idea. Everything is a hallucination. Everything's not real. But nevertheless, today with so much things that we have to draw, the only thing that really keeps us is obviously that we're tied to Torah. As everybody here on the Zoom, I presume, especially our guests, I see my own son. It's a good thing you called my son, Nassim Yeshayahu. This way we have a few people on.
The question is why the other ones didn't come on.
That's a different story. All right, they're busy. They're already tied to Torah. They don't need this. So, but the bottom line is that obviously people are connecting, alumni, whatever you're doing, connecting to where you first heard Torah, and you're coming to hear it. You're tied to Torah, and that's what you're doing. And you recognize, like that chassid, you recognize that there's always a need to be machazik in everything that we do. So I hope that the few things that I'm going to say will be inspiring somewhat, and you'll take away some chizuk and to add to your already avodas Hashem. It's just a. I want this. Last week I saw a Rashi on the Oz Yashir, just a small point chizuk. Rashi says on the pasuk Tivlaim Oretz. So Tivlaim Oretz, that the land swallowed up the Mitzrayim. So Pasha, that was going on. And the Yamsuf, the Mitzrayim were being buried alive, so to speak. Different shot, and they would go up and down depending on what kind of rush it was. But Rashi says on Tivlaim Oretz, he says, that the Mitzrayim was zochet to kvura. Why were they zochet to? Another he learns pshat tivlaim aretz, the earth swallowed them up. Is because bezchus she Mitzrayim amru tzadik Hashem zochet lekvura. Because the Mitzrayim were, because they said tzadik Hashem. By Makas Bara, they said tzadik Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's right. We're wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch was right. And because of that, there was zoicha to kvura. You think about that. I mean, it's like relative to who they were and what they were doing. It's mind-boggling. Rishayim, what the Mitzrayim did for 210 years to Klal Yisrael, and one thing they said, Tzadik Hashem, and they get, there's a reward for that. It's just, it beggars explanation. And the truth of the matter is, the only explanation I have is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, doesn't forget anything. And every single thing that we do, we get credit for. So it's really two things that I thought that is number one is that exactly that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget anything we do. We think sometimes you have to do big things and a lot of things in order to be an accomplished individual. And that's not true. Every single little thing, big or small, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, and we get schar for that. But the second thing is that it's also we shouldn't give up. everything that we do could add to it. You know, you do something, you think that, that's it, I'm done. I can't do, what else, what did I do already? I did one thing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the credit for it. So I just wanted to just put that out there. I heard an interesting thing on the Chazal. It's Ezel Chocham Aroas HaNolad, right? Ezel Chocham Aroas HaNolad. So I once heard, somebody just told me recently, that Rav Gifter, and I think I heard this myself, but he has the kash, Ezel Chocham Aroas HaNolad. Who is a person who sees the future, who sees the consequence of his action? So he says, what's a chacham? Chacham, he knows things. He has knowledge. Deya, das. So wouldn't the better word that the Chazal should have said was Ezel chacham, hayodeya sanola. He knows it. What's the roe? Why the emphasis on re'iya? And he answered like this. He said, you can know something very well, but until you see it right in front of you, you won't take action. Now, his mashal was a really simple mashal, but it's profound. You right? The weather, you go outside, it's a gorgeous sunny day, and the weather said, you know, it's going to rain today. So how many people take an umbrella? The sun is shining bright. You take an umbrella? Oh, the rain, I probably won't rain. Until it's in front of your nose, you're not going to see it. That's the difference between a chacham and not a chacham. Chacham is not yodea. Everybody knows. You could know something, but is it part of you that you will take action of it? Only that is when you see it. I hear in Miami, the truth of the matter is, I'm a victim to that muscle. I mean, anybody who lives in Miami, you know the joke. In Florida, right? And anybody, you guys were here. Right? What's the joke? You don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It's going to change, right? So, but how often was I go to shul? It's bright and sunny. And of course, and I'm only like, what, 10 minutes away from yeshiva. And of course, right on the bridge, you get dumped on. Now, how many times does that have to happen before I do it? It took me many years until I was a Royas HaNolad. And now I do it. If I know that it's going to rain, I'm going to take my raincoat, even if it's bright and sunny outside. So, but that's a chacham. So how do we incorporate this idea? Is there a way that we could become a Roes HaNolad? Is there something that would help us? So I got to give credit to my shvaga, Rabbi David Chait, for this Mar Makom. He's a Chovas Alvavas. He mentioned, you know, in the Chovas Alvavas, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh has 30 cheshbonos a person is supposed to do. Halavai should do one, but I'm giving you this one. It's a good Eitzah. It's number 12, Shtei Mesrei. Where is it? So he says like this. He says, he makes a very simple cheshbon. And he says, in other words, you know, to see how, where you're holding, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're all Bnei Torah. Whatever the case may be, we're going to minyanim. We're doing what we're supposed to do, and we come. Look, we're on a Zoom here, and we're connected to the yeshiva. That's what we're doing, right? So, what am I doing wrong already? Okay, we're learning Musa too, right? But he says the following cheshbon. He says a very simple thing: compare your efforts that you do for Olam Hazeh as you would follow my bond. And the marshal he gives is, imagine that you're going on a business trip or vacation. You're going on vacation with the family. So you take your time, right? You have to figure out where you're going, what destination you're going to go to, where you're going to sleep, food to take, all the kind of different things that you might need. And if it's a business trip, who are the people you have to meet? Is it profitable? How much profit I'm going to make? And you put in a tremendous amount of energy and effort into this trip, right? And so the Chovas always points out, you know what? The trip may not even happen. There are a lot of things that could happen. Somebody can get sick, get COVID, you can't travel. There are restrictions that you can have that you that we don't anticipate, but yet we'll put in 100% of the effort necessary to make sure that the trip is successful. The question is, after 120, we're going to make a trip also. It's going to be a trip, and we're going to be in Olam Haba. You know, here in Olam Haba, right? And that's a definite trip. We're all going to go on that trip. There's no questions about it. Question is just when, but we are all going on that trip. We're going to be on that trip. Now, just like, and really you have to make a cheshbon. You have to compare how much time, energy, and effort do we take to do whatever it may be that we have in our lives, whatever it is. Now, we may think, I'm a good guy. Listen, I mean, I take my siddur in yeshiva seriously, or if I'm already out, I'm married, so I have I take care of all my cheshbon is with my family. It's all cheshbon. nothing that I do, I take care of my house. You know, I take whatever it is. I get a car. Well, I don't care about the car. I don't care about this. My wife wants to know. My wife wants fancy drapes. Okay, so that's what she does. But me, no, I don't get involved in this stuff. So, but you have to check how much time, energy, and effort we spend in anything that has to do with Olam Hazeh. Doesn't make a difference what it may be. Might be the computer, emails. I don't know. Whatever it may be. How much time, energy, and effort are we expending on what we do for Olam Hazeh? And then figure out the Ishtadlis. Of course, we have to do Ishtadlis, absolutely. But then compare what are we doing for Olam Haba. And then if that ratio, if you see that your Ruchnius, the ratio of Ruchnius is much greater to the Gashmi, so then you know you're on the right path. But if Chas V'Shalom, it's not, you may have to realign some of your priorities by examining that. And I found it to be a very powerful thought, because we happened to be talking. I was talking to my brother. We were talking. I said, okay, so you know, after this COVID, so what are we supposed to do? I mean, listen, what's going on in America? Who knows? Chveis with the elections, craziness with the elections. An Eretz Yisrael, what are you supposed to change? What are you supposed to be doing? And this Chovos Havavos, I said, okay, no, we're just supposed to do what you're supposed to, just keep doing what you're doing, but make a cheshbon. Make the right cheshbon, what it is that you're doing, and make sure that it's on the right track. I'm going to end with one idea about tefillah. I saw this beautiful idea written up. It's a medrash in Shmos Rabbah. It's Chof Aleph Dalin. And the medrash says, compares two psukim in Tehillim, tefillah l'moshe ishu elokim, which is it's in Perek Tzadi in Tehillim. Tefillah l'moshe ishu elokim, we say this every Shabbos. And it says, tefillah l'oni ki yatov. Also in Tehillim. The same Lashon is made, Tefillah, Lamosha, Tefillah La'oni, is that same expression is being used. So the Medrash writes, when it comes to Bas of Adam, Kesef Yanis Akol, the rich guy gets, you know, the rich guy, he has the money, he's going to be listened to. Or he's got to pay the piper, so you go to the rich guy. The poor guy, you know, if he doesn't have the money, he doesn't have it, right? So he gets what he needs. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu and an Ani in the sense over here is somebody who is impoverished in terms of his stature, is not Moshe Rabbeinu, it's equal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not, you don't need a Kesef Yanis Akom. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah of Moshe is equal to the tefillah of an Ani. And the raya that the Medrash says is because in when last week's parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu says Matitzak Eloi, when the Klal Yisrael is right before Yamsuf, so Moshe Rabbeinu is crying to says Matitzak Eloi. He says Dabar Avnei Yisrael V'Yiso, according to the Medrashes, Klal Yisrael damned already, and I already listened to that tefillah. So I think that's to me it's tremendous chizuk. You hear all these, all these advertising. I don't know, of course, you don't read Mishpacha magazine or one of these other things, but every other tefillah is, $25 to this, and you get to this tzaddik, and 40 years at this tzaddik, and if you don't have, or this tzaddik is going to do it, he's going to stand on his head at the kaisel, and he's going to daven. So, what am I going to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to everybody. We just have to daven. Tefillah Oni is no different than tefillah L'moshe. So, Nasan Yeshaya, I'm going to open up the floor to questions. So make sure you write all of them down. And this way, next week, you'll get somebody who knows how to answer them. All right. I don't know if there's any questions, but a joke or two, maybe. Somebody has a better joke or something.
I guess on the last part with the tefillah, what do you think is the, isn't there some kind of concept of people do go to tzaddikim to get, ask them to daven for them? There's no concept of a tzaddik's tefillah is better or more accepted. I don't know. Like why do people do it?
Well, it says, the truth of the matter is at the end of Ashrei, it says, Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh, V'yes Shavasam Yishma V'yoshiyim. So the pasuk can tell him saying Ritzon Yirei of the will of those who are fearful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to. So the assumption is that the tzaddikim are Yirei Shamayim, so Hashem is going to listen to them. I'm assuming that's the simple explanation. That's the pasuk in Tehillim. So. But the bottom line is, but you're also a Yerei Shemayim, and I just shouldn't put yourself down that your tefillos don't work. I think it comes to a point where, I'll put my bet on, Mechavikani and this one and that one and this kever and that kever, I'm good to go, I'm out of here. You missed the point. You have to do tefillah. I mean, if a person is sick and he does, other people daven, but he doesn't, the chol has to daven himself. I don't know, I remember hearing this, just don't remember, but chol himself has to daven. So, I don't know the answer, but I could tell you that as far as tzaddik, I mean, people do it. What can I tell you? I'm not telling you not to, hedge your bets, but our tefillah also works. That's what I'm saying. Tefillah works. If it's sincere tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to it.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Mendel. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Zayke benched. It's been
good. Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night.